The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to Plan Your Estate Radio with your host, San Jose Estate Planning Attorney Bob Bergman. Bob's been practicing law for over 40 years and is certified by the State Bar of California as a legal specialist in estate planning, trust, and probate law. Bob is here to help you set your house in order with valuable insights you can use today to prepare a better tomorrow for your loved ones. And now your host for Plan Your Estate Radio, Attorney Bob Bergman.
Well, good afternoon, Bay Area. Bob Bergman here, broadcasting from my office in the Cambrian Park neighborhood of San Jose, which is where I conduct my law practice as an estate planning attorney. Now, I'm going to be probably all over the place today. I'm going to be focusing today's show on questions and comments from around the state of California. And then also later in the show, sharing with you an actual real-life situation that came into my office last week, no names, that really I think will illustrate a major point about why I do what I do. And that is that proper estate planning means not only the planning part, but following through with the administration part after someone has died. So stay tuned for later in the show for a really fascinating situation that probably would make a really good bar examination question or a question for the specialization section for the estate planning, trust, and probate law specialization that the state bar administers through the Board of Legal Specialization. Excuse me, I had to grab a Kleenex. So let me dive right in with some questions and comments from around the state of California. Out of Huntington Beach, California, person says, my boyfriend has a living trust with me as a beneficiary on his trust. I have Medi-Cal, and his attorney told me when he passes away, I'm supposed to set up my own trust. I don't want my Medi-Cal benefits taken away when my boyfriend passes away. What am I supposed to do? Well, it's kind of hard to kind of answer what are you supposed to do without a lot more information. But one of the things that is true is that if your boyfriend passes away and leaves a house to you, and especially a house that you live in, you could take and put that house right into a living trust ownership, and it would not be subject to recovery by Medi-Cal, and it also would not count against your eligibility for Medi-Cal if it's actually your residence that we're talking about. So I think that's what the boyfriend's attorney was suggesting, which is if the boyfriend passes away, go ahead and put yourself, basically create your own trust to hold whatever you inherit. Now, it's not going to be doing absolutely everything you might want to do, but it's going to help quite a bit if you actually set up a trust and put the assets into the trust. Okay. Now, here's someone says, I'm the youngest of three. This is out of Los Angeles. My older brother, who is in charge of my parents' estate, but he doesn't want the responsibility of being charge. My middle brother wants responsibility and will do everything in his power to screw my older brother and me. My mother wants me to be in charge. She was told in order to switch it to me, she would have to have it completely rewritten, and it would cost her about $1,000. Is there any other way we could make the change, like maybe a notarized letter being placed in the trust? Well, first of all, the mother was probably quoted that, because if she went to someone who didn't prepare the trust, that attorney may have taken the position that if I touch this trust to make any changes to it, then I now become responsible for everything in the trust, including mistakes that are in there that maybe I wasn't hired to review or catch, but I could still be liable for. Now, the short answer to this question is this lady could create a document called Amendment to Trust, take the language from the trust that talks about who's going to be her successor, copy that language in this Amendment to Trust document, only change and put the younger child in as the first choice, maybe followed by the older, maybe then followed by the middle child, and then date that, sign it, and then have signature notarized and put that in the folder wherever the trust document it is. That would be a simple change to the trust. To be more comprehensive, the person should probably go back and do a whole new will that is signed and witnessed following what the original will said, only now changing the executor under the will to be the youngest child. So not only the will is updated, but the trust is updated. Now, people come to me all the time and they want to make changes to estate plans that they already have. And I do take the position that unless I prepared the plan originally, I will be treating it as a whole new estate plan, and I will be redoing everything in the plan. This is because then I know exactly what's in there, because I prepared it, and it's going to follow the wishes that the person wants as closely as possible, because I prepared it. And I'm willing to stand behind work that I prepare as an attorney, but I'm not willing to stand behind work that I did not prepare as an attorney. And the way I avoid that as an attorney is I don't just make changes to someone else's work, whether it was someone who did the plan on their own, a do-it-yourself kind of plan through some online service, or they got a book at Barnes & Noble and filled out forms and had them witnessed, or had them witnessed or notarized or whatever was appropriate. So that is kind of what I would do. But I think that's likely what's going on here. Now, out of Los Angeles again. My husband and I have a living trust. If he dies, his share of the trust becomes irrevocable. Are the assets in his trust share then moved to the successor's share? For example, since our home is in the trust, what happens to his share of our home? Well, those are straightforward questions, but they could have amazingly complex answers depending on what the trust actually says. So it's really kind of hard to answer this. If it's an older trust, what we call an AB marital trust, then it could very well be that the husband's half of the house has to go into an irrevocable trust for the benefit of the spouse. The trust may also permit all of the house to be allocated to the surviving spouse with equivalent value of assets allocated to the irrevocable trust for the benefit of the surviving spouse. But there's no real way to tell from the limited information here just what's going to happen to the husband's share of the house if he dies before his spouse. Like I say, estate planning is a specialty in the law. It's not something that you should enter into without really having competent legal counsel to guide you. It's easy to make mistakes, and I've seen plenty of them over the years. So I urge you, seek a competent estate planning attorney to assist you with your planning. Okay, this is Attorney Bob Bergman, coming up on the end of the first segment of our show today. When we come back, I'll continue with more questions and comments on Plan Your Estate Radio.
This is Plan Your Estate Radio with San Jose Estate Planning Attorney Bob Bergman on AM 1220 KDOW.
And welcome back. I'm going to continue on with more questions and comments from around the state of California. And this time, we're heading down to Riverside in California, where a person indicated the following. A living trust was recorded as John Smith transferred to the John Smith Trust, meaning presumably John Smith as trustee of the John Smith Trust. John Smith's daughter, Jane, is the successor trustee. John Smith died 5 months ago, and the property has not been transferred out of his trust. The property is getting ready to be sold soon, and the successor trustee has not recorded an affidavit death of trustee, which is probably more properly an affidavit change of trustee. Doesn't seem like the successor is planning to do that. Are the beneficiaries in any danger? Should the successor trustee be acting if the trustee is ignoring filing that affidavit? Well, I'll tell you, if the property is getting ready to be sold, the more likely thing is that that affidavit death of trustee would be prepared as part of the escrow, the sale escrow, in order to properly clear the title into the name of whoever is going to buy the property. Now, I say that this happens actually fairly regularly. If the property is going to be sold right away, there's no real need to record that affidavit right away. It can be done in the sale escrow, and it would end up being recorded. Then there would be the deed recorded for the new owner, and then any mortgage loan would be recorded after that. So that's pretty commonplace. One of the things that probably should be done is a notification of death being sent to the county, I'm assuming it would be Riverside County, letting them know that John Smith has died, the date John Smith has died, and that notification would also summarize who is going to be receiving that property. Even though it's going to be sold, whoever is inheriting the property through the trust, copy of the trust would also be sent to the assessor's office, along with a copy of the death certificate showing the person has died. And that could be important for determining whether or not there is a supplemental assessment for the real property taxes on the property, because it's likely subject to Proposition 19. I will say, just as an aside, I still have not seen any new information on the status of the repeal of Prop 19, and I may check that later on in the show to see if there's an update and let everybody know. Yeah, okay, here we go. So, apparently they were able to collect over 500,000 signatures, but they needed 874,641 signatures. So that's the second time the Howard Jarvis people have tried to get an initiative on the November ballot to repeal the part of Prop 19 that basically is fouling up lots of families and also fouling up families from inheriting rental portfolios that maybe parents spent literal decades building up and maintaining. And now when they get passed on, they're going to get reassessed. So I would say right now the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association needs to start the next effort now. They need to start getting people together, lined up, ready to go when it's time to be able to put another, try to collect more signatures, to put a petition to repeal the California death tax, the Prop 19 death tax. They got over 500,000, but they needed about 875,000. So I think that's something I'm going to suggest they do. And I will certainly open up my show to them coming on and talking to you all out there and encouraging you to get involved next time around. If you believe in this, to get involved and start going out and collecting signatures and contacting people you know in other parts of the state and get them worked up and going so we can get it on the ballot. I think if it was on the ballot, people would look and say, yeah, we want to repeal that part of Proposition 19. And it would probably be passed by the voters, and we could go back to the way it was before Prop 19 was put into effect. Oh my gosh, basically three years ago is when it hit us, and it's hit many families very hard since that time. Okay, out of King City, California, someone asked the question, can I get an home equity loan on a house in a trust where I am the trustee? Person says, I want to fix the house up and pay off bills. Well, the short answer is yes, you can. The longer answer is, who's going to loan money on this property? Now, if the house is a rental property, and so it has, and the trust has verifiable income, then you could certainly apply for a trust, non-owner occupied, as a rental, like anybody could apply if they had a rental property. If this is not a rental property, but instead it's a house that's just there, maybe someone's personal residence, they died, and the family wants to fix it up to sell it, then you could probably get a short-term loan, what's called a hard money loan, in order to get the funds to come in and fix up the property to get it sold. And then, of course, when it's sold, that loan would be paid back. If it's just a matter of fixing the house up, well, then and just holding on to it, well, that may be more properly something for whoever's inheriting it to take care of, rather than someone who's the trustee of the trust that owns that house. So you can see there's a lot of different considerations here, and there is no such thing as just one answer when we're talking about most things involving trusts or property in trusts. Now, we have less than a minute to go in this second segment of our show today, and I just want to urge you to stay tuned because after the mid-show break, I'm going to lay out a situation that was presented to me that started out with the person coming in thinking it was a very simple thing to do, and it turned out that what they wanted to do was not possible to do, and that there may actually be many, many more serious problems that the family has to face, all because of a failure of administration, which I'll share with you after the break. This is Attorney Bob Bergman, host of Plan Your Estate Radio, and stay tuned for more of the show.
This is Plan Your Estate Radio with San Jose estate planning attorney Bob Bergman on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back. So before the break, I told you I was going to be sharing an actual situation that walked into my office just this past week. So let me give a little bit of a background. I was contacted early part of last week by someone. We'll call him Dave. And Dave contacted me, and what it appeared that he wanted to do was he wanted me to assist him in transferring a property that he owned into his trust. That's at least what it appeared he wanted to do. So I got back to him and I said, okay, this is kind of my usual protocol when someone wants to have a property transferred into a trust that they have, maybe because whoever prepared the trust for them is no longer practicing or I'm nearby, just things like that. And I have no problem doing things like drafting transfer paperwork to transfer someone's residence into the ownership of a trust that they have. So I got back to him. I said, fine, provide me the address of the property and the first page and the final page of your trust document or a copy of your certification of trust, exactly where you want property taxes to be sent, because that's something that goes on the transfer paperwork. And that was pretty much what I requested. So Dave then got back to me and said, well, I don't have really a way to get that to you. Can I bring it by and drop it off? I said, sure, okay. So Dave then just kind of came by. Just kind of dropped by. It didn't make an appointment or anything, just dropped by. So I said, okay, well, come on in. Let's, you know, I don't normally do this, but I said, okay, come on, let's take a look at this. Well, come to find that the trust in question is not Dave's trust, it's the trust of his father, Bill. And not only that, Bill's trust. Bill died back like 15 years ago. I went, okay, so your father died 15 years ago. I see this is a trust that you're showing me. It was a trust created when? Okay, it was created after my mother died. My mother, Mary, died. And then my father, Bill, created this trust. I said, okay. Well, what about the property in question? Oh, Main Street? Yeah. Well, who owned Main Street? And he said, well, I think my parents owned it. I said, do you know how they owned it? No. So I went online to look and see if I could find and download a copy of the deed on Main Street. There ownership of the property went so far back that my source to pull that information did not have a scanned copy of that deed that I could retrieve. So I said, okay, well, it looks like the property has both of your parents' names on it, at least from the information that I can retrieve. That doesn't tell me if the property was owned as tenants in common, not likely. Joint tenants, very likely. Or as community property or community property with right of survivorship. Four different ways the parents could own the property. But what was clear to me was that Bill and Mary's names were still on the title of this property, Main Street, and nothing was ever done by Bill when Mary died to take her name off of the title. But then the other kicker is nothing was ever done by Bill to put Main Street into the ownership of his trust. Not only that, the trust document, when it listed assets being held by the trust, didn't even identify Main Street as something that Bill intended to be owned by the trust. So I explained, all right, well, there's a couple-step process here now. First of all, we have to figure out, how do we get your mother's name off the title into your father's name? And then how do we get your father's property into his trust? So, is there a will? What do you mean? Did your father make a will to go along with this trust that he created? It looks like an attorney assisted him down in Santa Cruz, which is actually where Main Street was located. And he said, well, I don't think there was a will, so there was no pour over will, meaning no will that directed the property to be turned over to Dad's trust. And the answer was, no, I don't think we have anything like that. I said, okay, well, that's another problem we have then. If there's no written evidence that your father intended Main Street to be owned by his trust and distributed according to the terms of his trust, then we don't have a way to get it into his trust. That would mean that your father, in reference to Main Street, died intestate. Now, why is this such a big deal? Because Bill's trust specifically said, I have four children, and I want all of my stuff to go to just three of those four children, and the fourth child, I don't want to receive anything. Yes, the fourth child was disinherited by Bill's trust. But if Bill left no way to get Main Street into the ownership of the trust, Bill dies intestate. What does that mean? Well, that means because he had no will and there's no way to get that property into his trust, that means it has to go through probate in Santa Cruz County. And under the probate law, it's divided four ways. Four ways between his four children. But wait, there's more. Bill's wife, Mary, was previously married and had two children of her own that were essentially raised by Bill. And even though they were his stepchildren, they could conceivably have some rights to share by intestacy in his estate as stepchildren. So natural children, definitely. Stepchildren, under some circumstances, could share as intestate. So now we have it divided six ways. So instead of, oh, it's supposed to go to the, it's supposed to go to the three children, now it's maybe there's six children, including one who was disinherited and two who are stepchildren. But the real kicker is Dave came to me because he wanted to get the property transferred into his name because he's been living in the property continuously since Dad died 15 years ago. I had to point out to him that even Dad's trust says he only gets a third of the property, not 100% of the property, which means he would have to figure out a way to buy out the other two beneficiaries of the trust, two of the other children. There's no authority for the trust to just transfer 100% of that property to him. Now, I told him that it's likely that because of when your dad died, there would not be any reassessment of the property taxes, but it looks like the county in Santa Cruz was never notified in the first place that Bill, the dad, had died 15 years ago. I told him I didn't know how Santa Cruz County would react if they're suddenly being informed that a homeowner died 15 years ago and no paperwork was ever submitted to the county letting them know about that. I know in Santa Clara County, they would probably send out a notice saying, please show us that this was a parent-to-child transfer so that it's not subject to reassessment because it happened 15 years ago. But different counties kind of can take some kind of different positions on whether or not it's been so long since the person died, you should have notified us, and maybe we're not going to honor the being free from reassessment. So what started out as a simple matter that I do fairly regularly turned into an utter mess. And it goes back to Bill not doing a good job, Bill's attorney who helped him not doing a good job in getting Main Street into Bill's trust, which is just something that just has to be done, and then no apparent evidence of intent that it be in Bill's trust at all because it wasn't even listed on the asset schedule of the trust. Just goes to show you that good estate planning is not easy and you need a professional. Okay, we'll have one more segment today when I come back. This is Attorney Bob Bergman, your host. Talk with you after the final show break.
Now, back to Plan Your Estate Radio with Attorney Bob Bergman.
And welcome back to the final segment of our show today. So I have a few more of these questions and comments from around the state. I thought that that actual case study that I just presented to you in the last segment can be fairly representative of the kinds of things that can go wrong if proper planning is not done and if proper administration is not done after someone has died. Trust planning needs to be done well, and administration after someone's died needs to be done well as well. Boy, that came out kind of awkward, didn't it? Okay. So, let's jump in. Oceano, California. Oceano? Do we have an Oceano, California? That doesn't sound right. Those of you out there, I mean, I've lived here a long time, but I don't know if I've ever heard of Oceano, California. Anyway, Oceano, California. It is. Okay. It's a little area in San Luis Obispo County. Well, welcome, Oceano. Okay. Says, what can I do? My boyfriend left me a 5% interest in his farm and rental house. I want to sell my interest. How can I sell it, and can I sell it to anyone? There's no money. My boyfriend borrowed $25,000 from me. Can I collect that and the expense of the funeral I paid for, another $7,000? Okay. I have 5% interest. His adult children have the other 95% interest. Well, when you say left, the question is, was that left in the form through a trust? Was it left through a will? And who's the successor trustee, or who's the executor of the estate? And can you put a claim in? I mean, this could be a real messy situation all the way around very, very quickly. But just focusing on the 5% interest in the house, you could approach the children about buying you out, or if they refused to buy you out and they refuse to do anything. I don't know who's renting, who's running it, who's handling the rental of the property. There's a lot of information that is not here. But ultimately, what someone can do is They can go to court and file what's called a partition action, which is basically a court action requesting that the court order a property to be sold so that someone can get their interest in the property paid out to them. It's partition as in divide. That's why where we get that term partition action from. Now, that's kind of an extreme solution because it involves filing a lawsuit with the expense and the time involved in that. And you might end up with a fight. It's probably better if the parties can just work things out unofficially without having to go and have any kind of litigation going on. At least that would be my opinion right there. You're probably better off overall by not having people fight about it. Okay, now here out of Rancho Cucamonga, California. This is kind of an interesting one here because this is what I call kind of a crossover situation. Person said, my dad had gotten diagnosed with cancer for the second time and had just lost his wife. He was in a very vulnerable state of mind and he thought he was going to die. During this time, my brother convinced my dad to sign his house over to him, my brother. My dad, thinking he was about to die, signed the house over to my brother under the impression my brother was going to keep the house in the family. My brother paid off the reverse mortgage on the house. My dad ended up beating cancer for the second time and is now in his right state of mind. My brother, now being the owner of the house, is kicking me and my dad out of the house. We've lived in this house our whole life. Is there anything we can do? Well, the short answer might very well be that if the father is a senior, elderly, and the brother did in fact take advantage of his age and his mental state in inducing him to sign the house over to him, that could be elder financial abuse. I've talked about that that kind of situation on my show a number of times over the years, and even since I came back on the air back in January. It might be worth going and talking to the district attorney's elder abuse unit, and maybe even the father going and talking to the district attorney and saying, I was induced to do this by my son. He took advantage of me, and I want to have the transaction reversed. And it may be possible that it could be reversed. It's hard to tell, but it would be worth at least looking into. Well, that's all that I have for my show today. And I'll be back next Monday with more questions and comments and some more insights as an estate planning attorney here in this state of California and working out of Santa Clara County, California. I hope you enjoyed the show, and I hope you have a great week. I'm certainly looking forward to the rest of my week. This is attorney Bob Bergman, host of Plan Your Estate Radio. And until next Monday, Bay Area, goodbye.
You've been listening to Plan Your Estate Radio with estate planning attorney Bob Bergman. For more information on today's program or to schedule a consultation, visit lawbob.com. L-A-W-B-O-B, lawbob.com. Or call his office in San Jose, 408-247-0444. That's 408-247-0444. And be sure to tune in next week for more Plan Your Estate Radio with attorney Bob Bergman.
Opinions expressed in the preceding program do not necessarily represent the views of the ownership, staff, or management of this station and are for informational purposes only and should not be construed to be legal, financial, or tax advice. Seek appropriate legal advice regarding your particular situation. Attorney Bob Bergman does not offer any guarantees with regard to the outcome of your legal matter. Prior results in other cases do not guarantee a similar outcome in your case. All rights reserved.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.